Well, let's see. Thank you, Sarah, by the way. It's wonderful to hear how the Lord is working in you in Brazil. And whenever we do get your updates, that's always an encouragement. So, well, normally, actually, I told Sarah she could take as much time as she needed. So I think normally I'd end right about now or in another 5-10 minutes. I think in the interest of keeping our schedule, I will go very quickly through my lesson, and I promise I will be done before 7:40. Yeah, before that, for sure. Okay. All right. If you would, I'm going to pray before we jump into the Word. So, dear Lord, we thank you for Sarah, for her heart, for the Brazilian people, and specifically for the kids that she ministers to. We thank you for the missionaries who would devote their lives to planting churches in areas where we don't traditionally see people go. And we just pray for those souls. They are just as lost as any soul in America. We pray that you would soften many hearts and grow the local church there to grow your universal church. And we pray for the many needs in the school and the churches there. You know what they need, and you know what Sarah's asked for. I pray these things in your son's name. Amen. All right, we are in Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. So, I will turn there. Mark chapter 4, verses 35 through 41. And I'll read. Verse 35, "And on that day, when evening came, he said to them, 'Let us go over to the other side.' And leaving the crowd, they took him along with them in the boat, just as he was, and other boats were with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat, so that the boat was already filling up. And Jesus himself was in the stern, sleeping on the cushion. And they got him up and said to him, 'Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?' And he woke up and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, 'Silence, be still.' And the wind died down and it became perfectly calm. And he said to them, 'Why are you so cowardly? Do you still have no faith?' And they became very afraid and were saying to one another, 'Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?'" So, in looking at the context of this passage, Daniel, last week, he covered numerous parables leading up to this event that we're going to talk about, where Jesus calms a storm. And there are many parables in chapter 4. That Mark recounts. In fact, chapter 4 is kind of a turning point in Jesus' ministry. At the end of chapter 3, or towards the end of chapter 3, Jesus gets rebuked by some of the leadership, the Jewish leadership, and they accuse him of doing the miracles that he does by the power of Satan. And it's after this point that Jesus starts to begin speaking in parables, a lot of times when he's speaking in his public ministry. And that's what we see in chapter 4. A lot of it is him speaking in parables. People don't necessarily understand, and he's also explaining to his disciples. Yeah. So from the beginning of chapter 4, we see it says, "He began to teach again by the sea, and such a very large crowd gathered to him that he got into a boat in the sea and sat down, and the whole crowd was by the sea on the land." So this whole chapter, Jesus has spent the entire day, which some commentators call the long day, teaching from a boat. He's teaching parables, and he's just been there all day. And that's what this chapter recounts. This next section, actually, the Jesus calming the storm, is also in all three synoptic gospels. It's here in Mark 4. It's in Luke chapter 8, verse 22 through 25, and Matthew chapter 8, verses 23 through 27. And why would it not be, really? If you think about it, this is a very dramatic event, and I'm sure it was for the disciples, right? This is really the first time their lives are in danger, if you think about it. Up until this point, they've seen Jesus heal the sick, cast out demons, teach, but this is the first time they're physically in danger. And he saves, in his divine power, saves them physically. So, just 3 points, a very simple outline. The calm before the storm, and calming the storm. Okay, so first, a calm before the storm. Verse 35, and on that day when evening came, he said to them, "Let's go over the other side," and leaving the crowd, they took him along in the boat just as he was, and the other boats were with him. So Jesus, after this long day of intense ministry, he looks over at his disciples and he says, "Let's go. Let's go." And it's not just the 12. If you notice in verse 36 at the end, it says other boats were with him. So this is likely Jesus in a small fishing boat, and there are other boats that are of similar size, and his disciples, the 12, are with him in the small fishing boat, and other disciples are in the other fishing boats. And they all kind of go along in this little flotilla. So he's been in the boat all day, he says, "Let's go." And Mark is the only gospel that mentions that there are other boats. And, you know, they're heading, and we can see this in chapter 5. They're going from Capernaum, which is Jesus' base of operations. It's where he kind of fans out in Galilee to teach other places. He's going from there, which is a primarily Jewish area, to, and commentators debate exactly where he ends up going, but he ends up in either the eastern side or the southern side of the Sea of Galilee, which is primarily a Gentile area. He's basically like, "I've had enough of the Jewish people, I'm tired, I'm going to the Gentile area where I'm less well known, and the people haven't heard me teach." And he's getting away from these large crowds, right? So he's in the boat to get away from the large crowd, and he says, "I need a break. I'm going." Okay. Point number two, the storm. "And a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat so that the boat was already filling up. And Jesus himself was in the stern, sleeping on the cushion. And they got him up and said to him, 'Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?'" So this storm, it wasn't like we probably picture it. It wasn't a rainstorm. It was very likely a windstorm, a fierce windstorm. And depending on the translation you have, it'll mention that. I think the NASB says, it says fierce winds or fierce gale of wind. The LSB says windstorm. So depending on your translation, it'll catch that. And that's probably why they were surprised. They probably didn't see any clouds in the air. It was a clear day. They're seasoned fishermen. And we also see in Luke, Luke gives us a verb for how they were sailing along. These boats could row, and they could also sail by the wind. And from Luke's gospel, we see that they were sailing. They were using the wind. And the Sea of Galilee is in such a way, it's kind of like in a bowl. And so you've got these cliffs on one side. Well, from your guys' perspective, it would be on this side. And you have large hills on the other side, but the cliffs on this side, Golan Heights and some other raised plateau, the wind would come and it would go down into the Sea of Galilee, and it would come very suddenly. So this was both normal and supernatural. It was normal in the sense that this happened. This was part of the winter winds that would normally happen, and supernatural in the sense that it was more sudden, more fierce, and of a larger magnitude, such that these seasoned fishermen, because at least up to 7 of the disciples were fishermen, they were surprised. They're surprised. And imagine using the wind, and all of a sudden, The wind is your enemy. It's no longer your friend. It's no longer driving you forward. It must have been terrifying. And the word arose tells us, yes, it was sudden. And the verb there, the implied is that God was doing it. The implied in the storm arose, or it came out suddenly, is that God caused the storm to arise. And so what did the disciples do? They're terrified, and so they call to Jesus. And I'm gonna rephrase a little bit what the disciples say here, probably said to Jesus. They said to him, "Teacher, Master, Rabbi, do you not care that we're going to die?" That's what you should get from this this section here. And they didn't say, "Master, do you not care that our destruction is approaching?" He's like, no. all of the Gospels use a different term for how the disciples referred to Jesus. Teacher, Master, And it's likely that they're saying all those things all at the same time. Because they're like, "Jesus, you're asleep." And so they tried to say anything to get his attention. And they had to, because Jesus was sleeping so soundly. He was sleeping through the storm. He was so exhausted from this intense day of ministry, and likely multiple days of ministry, but at least this one we know was a very long day, that he was sleeping while water was crashing into the boat. There are a few times in my life I can remember that kind of exhaustion. I don't know if you have. I don't know if I could sleep when water's crashing over me in a boat. But Jesus here demonstrates his humanity and also his faith. Jesus trusted in his Father and was thus able to sleep soundly. And also he was exhausted. And this is how the righteous should sleep. We should sleep soundly if we trust in the Lord. Point number three, calming the storm. And Jesus woke up and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Silence, be still." And the wind died down and it became perfectly calm. We should note here that the goal of Mark's gospel is to show that Jesus is God. And this is a remarkable way of doing that. He has shown that Jesus casts out the paralytic, he heals the sick, and he forgives sins. He has the power to do that. And this is the first time that Mark shows that Jesus has the power over the elements. Jesus says, "Hush," and immediately everything is still. It didn't like slowly die down, it's just still. And this rebuke, it's the same word that Mark uses for Jesus when he rebukes an unclean spirit in Mark chapter 1, verse 25. Same word, same power, same demonstration of that pain, power, same source. But this power is on a scale that the disciples have never seen before. And Jesus says to them, "Why are you afraid?" And this is after he's shown his power to them in many different ways, and they doubted him. Matthew 8:26, in the parallel passage, it says, "Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith?" And here it says, "of no faith." I didn't quite get to why that difference is there, but I found one commentator said his observation was, "Faith they had, for they applied to Christ for relief, but little, for they were afraid, though Christ was in the ship. Faith dispels fear, but only in proportion to its strength." And then after Jesus has done this, they ask this question, "What then is this?" Or it depends on what translation you have, but I like, "What then is this?" And that phrase, the way it's structured, it's argumentative, and the idea is, since these things have happened, or since these things are, who then is this? What must Jesus be if he has done these things? That's the question. That's what they ask. And the answer to that question is never explicitly answered in the text. And the reason why is because the answer is implied. In the Old Testament, only God alone can calm the sea. Only God can control it and can control nature. And so Mark is making his point very clearly through implication that Jesus is God. That's what he's trying to show. And Jesus is trying to show his disciples that they can trust him in severe circumstances, even life-threatening ones. Well, I will read one passage. I'm a little over where I said I was going to be, but it's okay. So I like in this to think of Romans chapter 8, verses 38 through 39. And you know it. Some of you could quote it from memory. It says this: "For I am convinced that neither life nor death, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." The storm couldn't separate the disciples from Jesus. He was there all the time. And nothing can separate us from God. And there is great comfort in that. There's great comfort that we fear a God who can protect us in all storms, because he can calm all storms. And such a God shows us compassion even when we're in storms. And that's all I have for you tonight. So we'll be dismissed and go to our prayer rooms. Thank you, everybody.